A listener production.
Howdy, welcome one and all to episode 107 of the Howie Games Part B, featuring NRL star Valentine Holmes. Time to head to the NFL.
So for those that don't follow it closely, you are at this stage, and again, it's my words, a star of the competition. You're an upcoming player. You've played for the Kangaroos. You've broken records in scoring tries for the Kangaroos in a World Cup. You've won a World Cup. You've won Origin. You've won an NRL Premiership. When does the idea that you want to go and test yourself in the NFL first come into your mind? And this is why I really want to talk to you, Val, because answer that question first. When does it first come into your mind?
Yeah. It was probably like three quarters of the way through 2018. I was having a pretty good year that year. I had broken the club record for most tries ever as a shark. And I was just pretty confident with my ability. And obviously my manager had connections with there's like an international NFL pathway that had just been started maybe the year before or maybe two years before, and they had had interest in me as well, so that kind of helped because they had seen some of my highlights and they knew I maybe had the skill set to transition that as a receiver or a running back. And once I heard that from those guys, which was, like I said, about three quarters of the way through the year. I was obviously intrigued and keen by it. And then it literally wasn't until after the season, we played two test games. That was after we played against Tonga. That was the last game of the year for me. And I gave my manager a call and I just asked him if that was still, available, to go over and give it a crack. And he said, hang on 5 minutes, called the guy, and he's like, yeah, they were still available. They left their spot for me because I knew that they were closing out on spots because I think only had six or seven available. And then from then I was just like, oh, why not? What else you got to lose? If it didn't work out, if you're not good enough, if you didn't get picked, you can come back and, play rugby league again. And that was my thought process.
Over the last decade, the NFL has set its sights on expanding internationally. As part of that initiative, the league developed a program to help identify talented foreign athletes whose skill and athleticism could translate to American football. This year, one of the NFL's most unlikely underdogs just so happens to come from down under. His name, Valentine Holmes. His background, rugby.
So before we get to the team side of it, so you went to a training camp, a combine, a tryout, yeah?
Yeah, so we were in Florida for 3 months, just literally training, learning the game, trying to pick up the ins and outs of a playbook, how they run routes, how the terminology from a quarterback is to the playing group, and that was pretty tough. That was pretty hard.
Little things, guys. This game is all about the little things. If you do the little things, the big things are easy. Simple as that. So, five most important thing is what?
Alignment.
Assignment.
Technique.
Execution. And what?
Finish.
You do those things, guys, and you work hard. You got a chance, all right?
Like the physical side of things, getting in shape and running and all that, the catching was fine, but just learning the playbook, and because it's literally a total new code word to what we're used to here in rugby league. And
so whose playbook are you learning at this stage? Just a generic playbook?
So we had a trainer that came in and helped us out. He was from Atlanta Falcons, and he brought in a few pages from their playbook. They're not very big on lending their playbook out, obviously.
No.
Because
so this is just to get ready for a tryout.
Yeah, for the combine.
Okay. So you haven't even got to the combine at this stage and you're doing three months' work.
Yeah, the combine tryouts were at the end of the 3 months.
With the first weeks of training complete, the focus shifts toward preparing the athletes for their biggest audition of their career.
One, two.
The International Scouting Pro Day, an event that will feature a series of exercises designed to test their athleticism and technique.
So were you making physical changes to your body at this stage? I know you're highly into PT. So explain to me the difference between what you need to be a rugby league athlete and an NFL athlete.
Yep. So obviously rugby league, my position, it's a lot of running and fullback. You got to pretty much be everywhere. You got to cover the ground a lot.
How many Ks probably, would you do in a game?
Yeah, you'd probably do about 10. Okay. 11 K, 9, 10 Ks.
Righto.
Which is, you know, quite a lot. That's not obviously just touching the ball. That's just being everywhere in 80 minutes. So. And then in NFL, there's offense and defense. So when offense isn't playing, you're sitting on the bench and you're just waiting until you get back out there. So over there, it's just all power, speed, and like you don't need to be fit at all. Like we didn't do any cardio when we're over there. So yeah, it was just all power, explosive stuff like sprints, 40, 50 meters stuff, and then just all power, powerlifting. You know, gym stuff where it's squats, how much deadlift.
How much are we squatting here now, Val? Let's get into some details for me.
Well, they do a lot of chain stuff, so they put chains on the end. So when you squat down, it gets a bit lighter and lighter.
Oh.
And as you lift up, it gets heavy, and that's where they get the power from. So we did a bit of that where the weight would still be a bit. It might be 120 kilos with chains either side, and the chains might be about 10 kilos each. So, yeah, they got me – I put on about maybe 5 kilos within 3 months.
Of pure muscle?
Yep. Yeah, so I was pretty big. Even my wife came over to visit me. It was probably at 2.5 months, and she couldn't believe how big like my legs were, my arms, and I was like, that's what happens when you don't do conditioning or long-distance running. So,
Hey, Val, Val, you need to put me onto this training program because I'm 73 kilos and never get any heavier. I need some of those chains you're talking about, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, I've been telling the guys here about it. We've started doing that, so that's been pretty cool. You know, I think teams are starting to do that now, obviously, because it decreases as you're going down to get ready to lift, to push up or to stand up when you're squatting. And it just puts all this, you know, gradually gets the weight back on. And, yeah, it's. I feel like it's a pretty good
invention. The combine, how, is it a 1 day, 2 day? How long does the combine go for? I'm fascinated by this.
Yep, it was just 1 day. It was the whole day.
Okay. With coaches, scouts, and cameras from around the league in attendance, their performances today will gauge how their talent stacks up not only against elite college players in the U.S., but each other.
So take me to the day of the combine, how you're feeling, what your aim is, and some of the disciplines you have to fulfill on the day, and how many blokes are there and where they're all from.
Yeah, so I think in total there's about 16 or 17 clubs there, like scouts from the NFL clubs. So that was obviously nerve-wracking in itself, and then there was a few other people there. We did at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers facility, so that was pretty cool as well.
Are you pinching yourself at this stage?
Yeah, I was a bit nervous. Me and so that was three of us that are running backs, and the rest were all defensive players. So when we got there, we pretty much just split up because they do their own drills and us three had to do ours. And we always went one after each other from our last name. And I was first because my last name was before both of them. I was like, oh, fire out. So if you make a mistake, it'll be on me. And then they learn from it.
Yes.
But we nailed it. Like it was, so the first of all, it was, you know, you strip down to your skins. You do your weight, height, and your arm, they measure your length of your arms.
Okay.
Then after that, you know, you get ready, you tuck your boots on or your spikes, and you do the 40-yard run.
Well, we are inside Florida's IMG Academy, where right now former Cronulla Sharks star Valentine Holmes is vying for his spot in professional American football. That's him right there in training here this morning.
So how long does it take you to do a 40-yard run, and what's elite in the NFL?
Yep. So for running back position, anywhere between, I think it was 4.4 seconds to like 4.8 seconds is like elite. Like that's good. That's, if you get around that, then they'll be interested in you, because their 40 yard is like, that's the top. Like they, no matter about your 40 skills, they just love if you're fast. If you're, if I ran 3 seconds, I probably would have played.
Right.
That's how, so, that's how much they love their 40-yard run.
So what did you do it in?
I did, so we did two runs.
Yep.
My first one was my quickest. I did it in 4.45.
So tick?
So tick,
tick for V Holmes there. Righto, where do we go next?
So I was pretty happy with that. The next one is like, they call it a three-cone drill. So you just kind of run up to a cone. So up 5 meters, touch. You got to touch the line with your hand back to where you started, touch it. And as you come up, it's like an L shape. So you run around to the third cone, which is 5 meters from that, the first one, yep. around that, like a figure eight around it, and then back through where you started.
Like agility type stuff, yeah?
Yeah. So it's just seeing how you like can move back and forth, run around a cone and get back to where you started. And
how'd you go there?
The least amount of seconds. Yeah, they went really well on that too. They were really happy with that one. And there's another one where you start in the middle, and then there's a cone 5 meters either side. So you start in the middle, you pick a side, you just go touch that side, straight through, touch a side, and then straight through the middle. Yep. That one I didn't do great in, but it was still good. Like, it was okay. It wasn't elite. But the first two I was pretty good, happy with. They were very happy with. And then pretty much from then on, that was all that stuff out of the way, the testing more so. And then we got into the, running drills, running routes, catching balls.
And how'd you go at that? Like, if your performance on the day was as much as you could expect, it was 10, and if you dogged it was 0, how was your performance on combine day?
It was, I reckon it was probably a 9.5. My very last ball, the quarterback, like, he probably thought he was faster. I was faster than I was running at the time, and he kind of tried to throw me into it. It was a go ball, so I was out wide, and you just have to run straight, and he just launches it, and you just got to catch it. And I like, got to it, and that just hit my fingertips, and I had dropped it. But everything else was spot on, no drops, no mistakes. Pretty much. It was pretty good. So, and all of us, like, we all did really well. Like, everyone, no one, I don't think anyone else made, I think maybe one of the other guys made a one drop as well, but yeah, we all did really well.
And does anyone speak to you on the day from clubs and says, keep it up, or we might give you a call? How does that work? Do you meet and sit with these dudes and chat?
Yeah, so during it, they're not allowed to talk to you. But after everything was done, a few clubs had spoken to myself and a few of the other guys and our management, and they're showing that they're interested and stuff like that. But because of the pathway program that they're on, they have like an allocated 4 teams that you go to, like a division. And we went to the AFC East, which was obviously New York Jets, Buffalo, Patriots, and Miami Dolphins.
Right.
And so I originally wanted to try and be picked up as a free agent rather than like pathway, because the pathway is good, like it helps, but it's more of a development pathway where you're there for like 2 to 3 years.
Yes.
And I didn't want to be like on that pathway. I wanted to, because I didn't have much, I was 24 at the time. I didn't have 3 more years to try and make a good contract, where obviously I was on some pretty decent money back home, and I knew what I was sacrificing to give this a crack. And so I wanted to try and be picked up as a free agent and then just chance my hand. If I did well, then I make a step-by-step like Jared Hayne did. It wasn't really to be. Cleveland Browns were interested, but my manager thought that going with the allocated team would be better.
It's good news in that you're going to be allocated through this program to a club, okay? So congratulations.
Thanks.
All right.
So you get back to Australia, do you get a phone call to say, right, there's a spot for you in New York, or how does that work?
Yeah, yep. So, yeah,
do you remember,
so pretty much
remember,
after that.
Do you remember that phone call?
Yep. After, the pro day, we were there for maybe 2 more days and then everyone went home. And then it was about maybe 3 days later when I got home. They had told me that it was on a certain day, I think it was Monday, between 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock. So I was like waiting around home from 9 to 12, which they actually called at 9:30, so it worked out well. I wasn't really waiting around long. And I was with my family, I put on a loudspeaker and stuff like that, and it was pretty special moment.
Oh, hello Valentine, this is Mike McCagnan, I'm the general manager of the New York Jets.
Oh, hello, how are you?
You also have Valentine Holmes, a professional rugby player from Australia.
I like that.
Great name.
I see a trend here with
He's going to join the Jets.
Valentine Holmes is off to the Big Apple.
He is, Peter. Got a call this morning from the New York Jets, which took the 23-year-old a huge step closer to realising his dream of playing in the NFL.
The GM of the Jets called and, said that they were keen and interested on having me at their team. And then I was probably home for only maybe another couple of weeks. had to fly back over for training camp and got straight into it.
More of Val shortly. For those that love their rugby league, please check out episode 96 with Storm guru Craig Bellamy and episode 54, It's a Beauty, with the voice of rugby league, Ray Rabs-Warren.
As kids, we played a lot of marbles. And our house had a lot of valleys, and it was a pretty rough house, let me tell you that, you know. And the marbles all rolled towards the side door, down a piece of lino. And I thought, if I take out all the different coloured ones, I emphasise all the different coloured ones, I can roll these down that slope and I can call them as horses. And that's what I did. From the time I was about 7 or 8, every afternoon after school, you'd find me rolling marbles down a slope and calling them as horses. So that's how it started.
Ray Warren, episode 54, one of those blokes that everybody is drawn to. Alrighty, back to Val.
Two questions I want to ask you here. You're a premiership player with the Sharks. 50 years of history, you're part of that tradition. How do you then go and tell your football club that gave you an opportunity that you are trying to pursue another opportunity? How does a young man bring that conversation to the table, Val?
Yeah, so
difficult,
I told
difficult,
them.
Difficult, difficult.
Yeah, it was very, very difficult. You know, I obviously was pretty close with all of them, the staff as well. And but I told them before I went to Florida for that training camp, because I knew that I was obviously had made my decision. I wasn't there for preseason and the start of the year. And, you know, a few boys weren't happy with it because I kind of left them in a hole, I guess, and they had to find another guy to fill in my position, and which obviously it wasn't good on my end, but you know, it was just something that I had to have done that year. Like, if I waited another year, I don't think it would have worked, because I probably would have been, you know, too old, or you know, not like, I just felt like my body shape and how I was playing that year just was perfect for me to go over and give it a crack. And
so how did you take that? Like, you mentioned coming to the club and then all of a sudden you're training with Paul Gallen. And this is a legend of the football club, and he was pretty outspoken, captain of the football club, as you would understand. He's protecting his organisation, and he was speaking pretty strongly that you'd let the football club down as a young man who's chasing another dream. How did you deal with that? Did it affect you, or did you just say, well, this is just what I'm going to have to cop to try and do what I want to do?
This is Val Holmes moments after he told his club bosses he wanted out. Dumping a $3 million deal with the Sharks, Valentine is chasing his new love, NFL. And his teammates are far from impressed. Skipper Paul Gallen launching a stunning attack for walking out on the club.
It's been a dream of his, which is great. I push guys to pursue their dreams without a doubt, but the fact is he had 1 year left on his contract, and we don't get this far in this game or in any game without your teammates, and Val's left us. He's walked out on us, which I find disappointing. I've told him that. I've got nothing against him personally, obviously. I thanked him for everything he's done at our club. He's won a premiership with us. He's been our best player. But, the way this has happened, I'm disappointed in.
Yeah. I think because there was obviously chat before I even made a decision of going overseas, that there was chat that I was already leaving the club to come up here, which wasn't like it wasn't even like it was out there, but it wasn't, you know, nothing was set in stone. And then this kind of just threw a spanner in the works because they had no idea about this. And then it kind of got out in the media, which then the boys knew because I was just waiting for the right time to tell them, which I didn't know when it was. And then obviously it got out. So then I told them, I went in and seen them. You know, yeah, some boys, like all my close mates were, you know, pretty happy with me, keen to see me over there and, excited, like genuinely excited for me. And they knew I could give it a good crack. And then obviously Gal, because he was the captain, I think it might have been his last year that year. And he wanted to, I think, maybe go out on a bang with a good year. And probably wasn't, that happy for me as everyone else was. But, you know, and that's in saying that, they picked up a pretty good player that kind of helped them out as well, in Sean Johnson. So, it is what it is, I guess. And, yeah, I wasn't really, you know, too upset by it because I made my decision. That's what I wanted to do. And,
So, Valentine, and this is the gist of what this is the question I really wanted to ask you. If I could ask you one question, this is it. You are a successful, high-profile, really, really well-paid professional athlete in one of the two biggest codes in Australia. You're now, talking about your father, you're now a big fish in the big pond. And you put all this aside to chase another athletic dream, which is statistically going to be really hard to achieve. If you look at the numbers of people trying to get a start in the NFL, to go to the other side of the world, take a massive pay cut, risk your body. You could get snapped in half and never play rugby league again. What motivated you make that, to me, enormously courageous decision, and a decision that I love, that you're prepared to give all your dreams away to chase an even higher dream? Like, this show is about positivity and motivation, and like, that is, that's an amazing thing to do as a young man, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much, you said it all. Like, I felt like at a young age I had kind of achieved a lot. You know, I achieved a lot within a couple of years, I guess, at the Sharks, and I just felt like I wanted more. You know, obviously Dally M's was on my radar. I wanted to win that as well, and you know, that year I was actually pretty close. I think I might have come third or something like that, and that was probably my last thing I wanted to do before you know, exiting, but I guess it wasn't to be. But I just wanted more. Yeah, I wanted to challenge myself. That's one thing I try and pride myself. I love challenges. I love, you know, coming up against, you know, what bad odds.
Number 39, Valentine Holmes, isn't a household name at Jets camp. But over 10,000 miles away, he's an international superstar.
I don't know, I just try and better myself. And it made me, you know, after that whole year there, it made me, you know, more wise as an athlete. I got to learn how those guys prepare and train and look after their bodies, because that's another level over there with the amount of money that's, you know, they get paid, but that goes into the club. They have everything, they get looked after well. And yeah, mentally, you know, preparing for games and coming back, I was just, you know, so much, I feel like so much clearer. Like, I pretty much, when I was playing at Sharks, I was just having fun. And it was just because I know the game well and stuff like that. But yeah, the odds to make it, especially because of the playbook side of things, it was pretty tough. Like, it was very hard. And all I wanted to do to go over is to be a returner. Like, that was my main, you know, the main position I wanted to play was a punt and kickoff returner.
Could you comment on how Valentine is going along?
He's picking up the offense. That's not, hasn't really been his issue. It's just when everything starts moving super fast, he's trying to get used to that. And I think it's starting to work for him. You know, it's slowing down for him, and I think it'll just keep slowing down. I'm excited to see him get a play in some games and just kind of see how he reacts to all that.
So for those that don't understand the game, explain the role that you're trying to achieve.
So that's, if you know rugby league, rugby union, that's, you know, playing the fullback position where you catch the ball and you just got to bring it back as far as you can. And they're in the NFL, it's either called punt returner. So if it's fourth down, they got to punt it to you, and you just bring it back as far as you can, which is similar to what I do. So,
what's the skill set specific to that? Like, what are you needing to be good at? Obviously, you need that speed that they're talking about. You got to be able to catch the footy, and I guess you got to be pretty agile when blokes are coming at you.
Yeah, just to have that evasiveness, I guess, and awareness of people and, you know, coming at you. And I felt like that year I'd done pretty well at fullback at Sharks, and, you know, I'd made quite a few line breaks. And that's another thing. I just got confidence from the year I played that year, and I knew I could do that over there. But when I got there, they didn't really give me an opportunity to play in those positions. They just wanted me at running back, which was fine, but I knew I wasn't going to make it as a running back in the NFL, because it's very, very hard. But I knew I could do something in the special teams as a returner, similar to what Jared Hayne had done. And, you know, you see other guys come in and do returner, because special teams is always like, there's never really someone set as like an offense and defense. Like, they always have guys that they pay well in offense and defense, but special teams is like, if you train well, if you catch the ball well, they'll give you a crack. And I just didn't really get that opportunity when I was training in the training camp and stuff like that, in the preseason games. All I got was one thing. So
we'll get to those preseason games. Can you indulge me with a little bit more of your time? I just want to talk to you about your journey there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've had Ben Graham on this podcast, and he was fascinating talking about his NFL journey.
Yeah.
An AFL player that made it there, and he was explaining to me the cutthroat nature. And, you know, you're playing with a bloke on a Monday night and on Tuesday he's cleaning out his locker. So give me an idea. You walk into the Jets organisation for the first time. How many people are there and how many people are competing for your job, and what is it like when you are competing against some of the most athletically gifted men in the world, all going for the same position, of which there's not many spots, Val?
Oh, it was an eye-opener, that whole issue, the whole first week. Yeah, because it's the middle of training camp, so they actually have about 80 people or more, because they always have guys in just to fill in positions and to test out guys. But obviously when the game starts, it gets cut down to 53 or 63 because it's a team practice squad. But in training camp, there was so many people. The locker room was like chockers. Everyone had their own locker, and there had to be lockers put in the middle for the rookies and for the new guys. So that's where I was for the first maybe month, and then I eventually got to sit next to Le'Veon Bell, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
The Steelers in front. Roethlisberger on again. Le'Veon Bell, the cut. Bell breaks a tackle. Bell trying to go all the way. Le'Veon Bell, touchdown Steelers.
So how do you feel when you walk in on that first day? Like, is it first day at school and you're shaking guys' hands and introducing them, they're saying, like, where are you from? Or how's it rolling out at this point?
I didn't really have time to see everyone. But, you know, whoever I bumped into or had lunch with next to, or I would just introduce myself. But some of the guys had knew that I was coming over from this pathway, so I think they must have got a heads up that they had a guy coming from Australia from the international pathway, and they were all fascinated by it. You know, for the first couple of weeks they're all asking, have I ever played before, what I played, or how did I get there, and stuff like that. So that was, you know, it's pretty cool to talk to them about rugby league and what I have done back home. And it was like I said, it was an eye opener. I was pretty nervous in the first couple of days, just because I knew the guys who had played there. You know, I obviously know NFL and know the guys, know a few of the Jets players just from watching them. And when I got to see them in real life, it was pretty cool.
What was the car park like?
Yeah, it was full of Mercedes, Range Rovers, Rolls Royces. Like, they had some nice cars, those guys. But yeah, it was pretty chockers. Everyone had a pretty nice car.
So, the preseason games.
Delayed handoff to Valentin Holmes, an Australian rugby player.
What are your memories? I think did you get a run in 4 preseason games?
Yeah, played in all of them in the last quarter. It was fun. Like, the very first game was against Giants, so I was the most nervous for that one. I played a few minutes actually in that game. And no errors, which was good. Caught everything, made a few yards, had a couple of good runs. I got hit once because over there, they always have to lower, like they talk about lowering your pads into contact. But up here, you kind of run upright and try and bump people off upright because everyone goes high to tackle you, where they just go real low. And that was one thing I kind of found a bit difficult to try and put into my game.
What's the impact like?
It's pretty hard, especially when you get hit like on the arm or the leg by the pads, by the shoulder pads. That hurts. But if you get hit, you know, around the upper body because you have shoulder pads on, it's not too bad. But yeah, it's still pretty physical. It'll hurt.
How about this guy, Valentin Holmes?
Yeah, Valentin Holmes.
What have you seen from him in camp?
You know, unbelievable hands. He has great feet, great hands. He is a nifty route runner.
Question along those lines. You answered the question from my daughter, the pickle. Now you get my 8-year-old son, whose name is Mac, but operates as the Big Penguin. That's his nickname, Val. He gave it to himself, Penguin. The Big Penguin. So you ready for the question for the Big Penguin?
Yep.
Hi, Valentine. Big Penguin here. I play footy, and I'm one of the smallest kids in my team. And sometimes the people I play with, they're so much way taller than me. I heard that you tried to play NFL. Those dudes that play NFL are massive. What was the biggest dude you've ever played NFL with?
Oh, yes, they are. Especially the offensive line. Like, those guys are literally, like, 150 kilos. Like, they are ridiculously big and they get told to eat like bad food because they just need to put on weight. Like obviously they don't need to be fit. They're not running anywhere. They're blocking people and then walking 5 meters, block people. but biggest guy I played with, his name was Kelechi. He was pretty good. I'm pretty sure he was a left tackle. So he was a guy that's, they all got to protect the quarterback.
Yes.
But he was the guy that, so there's a center, left tackle, right tackle. Left guard, right guard, left tackle, right tackle. So the tackles are the guys on the end, the guards are in the middle and then the center. And he was the guy on the left side, the second bloke in the middle, and he was huge, like, which is good. I'm glad he was on my team because he also blocked for me as well because I was playing running back. So I was standing behind these guys. I couldn't see over them. I couldn't see where anyone was. So I just have to pray that they're blocking the right people and I just run through wherever they are. But yes, to answer your question, little penguin, yes, I think Kelechi was the biggest bloke I played with.
So from the four games you had and the limited time you got in the last quarter, did you feel like you had the skills and the capabilities to success, to be successful if you'd been given opportunities, Val? It's a tough question, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't make any mistakes. I did what I could have done. Obviously, I didn't score a touchdown. That would have been cool. Hmm. But I'd, like, going to Jets, like, they had just signed Le'Veon Bell, who obviously plays running back. So I knew straight away, like, and I knew before they even would have signed him, like, I knew that I wasn't going there to play running back or receiver because that's just very hard. You got to know the playbook in and out. You got to know that off by heart, which I didn't. Like, I struggled to pick that up. But to be a kick returner, you don't have to know anything. You just have to be good at running, changing angles of speed, at speed, breaking tackles, holding onto the ball. And that's what I feel like I was good at. And I only got given one opportunity in, I think, maybe the last game or the third game. And I was just obviously disappointed. You know, I'd spoken to them for ages to at least give me a crack. You know, it was obviously just a trial game. You don't have anything to lose. It's not any points.
Who do you speak to? Do you speak to the head coach or who do you speak to? Your line coach?
I spoke to the special teams coach at first and he said, yeah, mate, we'll get you in. This was at training and then I didn't get in the first game. And then I was always talking to my manager to try and talk to them because I was obviously no one. So I was just like, oh, I've got no say. And he's like, oh, just grow balls and go talk to the head coach. And then, I went and spoke to the head coach and he liked me. Like, he was pretty excited by my highlights and he didn't know why I didn't get a run because he doesn't have a say who gets a run in the special teams.
What's his name? Who was the head coach?
Adam Gaze.
Right, gotcha.
So he was like, yeah, mate, like I'd love to see him there at returner, kickoff returner, but he doesn't get that say. It's a special teams coach that puts people in and out. So that's why I was like, oh, well, worst thing he could do is, I mean, the best thing you could probably do is just ask the coach to put me in. And I'm pretty sure he did. And so I got literally one opportunity. I probably took it for about 10 yards.
And the return man, this is a nice switch.
Holmes.
It will be Valentine Holmes.
Okay, I'm excited for this. Rugby star.
See how he handles this. Morstead to Holmes. First he has to secure it. He does at the 10. Flag is down. Holmes finds an opening and gets blocked as he crossed the 20-yard line.
And then they all swarmed me because it was a pretty good kick. It was a high one. I was just waiting for it. And by then, those guys out wide are super, super quick.
Yeah.
But as soon as he beat them, it's pretty much open. And one of them had kind of nipped me. And then I kept going and I got tackled by most of them. So, I just would have liked more opportunities. Even at training, in training camp, I didn't get much opportunity to do it at training, which didn't help. They just wanted me at running back and receiver. So
in the end, mate, do you walk away or do you get a tap on the shoulder to say the journey's finished here?
Oh, no, I chose to walk away. It was probably about 2 games left in the season. And I wanted to come back and to just get my body right and settle down first before I got back into an NRL team. And obviously the Cowboys were interested as well. When I was over there, they were kind of, having talks with my agent and they were keen and they ended up tabling, a pretty good deal for a certain amount of time. Well, I think it was 5 years. So,
yep.
And, this is where I'm from. My wife's from here. Both of our family live here and kind of was just like a, all right, maybe it's time to just go home. You'd still be happy, obviously, playing the sport you love, growing up playing in the team you got to, you know, you wanted to play for. So, yeah, I feel like it worked out well for me. You know, obviously, I would have liked to have played that year in the NFL, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. I don't know, if I had played a few games, maybe I wouldn't have came back, and I probably would have stayed even longer. And, you know, obviously coronavirus happened and they got hit pretty bad. So yeah. It's so weird how things work out. And I think I came back at a good time.
I mentioned to you at the start, I find it quite inspiring that you would take that potential risk to go from one sport to another when you've achieved so much here. What's your main takeaway from your NFL experience? If you look back on it now and the opportunities you were given or weren't given, the way you prepared, what it taught you as an athlete, what's your main takeaway from it, Val?
Yeah, for me, like, just like, if anyone wanted to give it a crack, like, just get stuck into the playbook straight away. You know, try and learn their lingo, how they talk, like, because sometimes they cut it up even shorter and shorter and it becomes like letters and numbers rather than words.
Wow.
And then, yeah, to get to that level, that's because that's one thing that they don't like. Like, they hate guys that aren't coachable. So if you make mistakes at training, like you said, like, they'll cut you and they'll bring someone else who won't make a mistake because they've got millions of people there, kids lining up to play NFL. So they can easily find someone who can listen, who can learn, and won't make a mistake. So it was pretty, you know, it was an eye-opener in that kind of situation because I haven't really had to, you know, be in that situation before because in rugby league, like, I've been playing it since I was 9, so I know the ins and all the main rules about it. Obviously, when you change teams, there's a bit of slang, but they're all the same, you know, same players, same meanings. But, yeah, that would probably be the biggest thing to take out of it.
And now since you've returned, I presume you've had to get your body back to a rugby league body. You left the game as a superstar. You've gone to a team that's had a reasonably tough year. Obviously, as we speak at the moment, you've got an ankle issue, so you're recovering from that. And it's been a reasonably difficult season, would be fair enough to say. How are you going back in the NRL, mate?
Yeah, obviously, first to start off with, you know, I had to get my body shape back because, like I said, I'd put on 5 kilos and then I kept it when I went to the Jets. So I put that on the first 3 months and then pretty much maintained it as I was there. And, you know, I had to lose a bit of that because I didn't want to be playing too heavy. And obviously I needed to run a bit more because I signed here as a fullback. And I knew, especially with the game now, it's gotten faster and faster. And with the new rules, it's just heaps quick now. So that's one thing I've probably struggled with these new rules was just how quick it's gotten.
And do you have the faith, Val, you must have tremendous faith in your own athletic ability due to the discussion we've had. Do you still have faith that you can once again become that dominant NRL player you were before you left, the big fish in the big pond again?
Yeah, definitely. Especially, you know, after trying to adapt to the game this year, this next season, you know, I'm going to, you know, try and train the house. I want to get everything perfect. I want to get my body right, you know, get my ball skills, my communication right with the players. You know, playing fullback is a lot of communication as well with directing the team. I need to get all that back because I pretty much was out for a year and I probably wasn't as vocal as I needed to be this year when I was playing. So, yeah, once this season is over, I'm just flushing it. Next year is a new year. I'll start again and I think I'm in for a big one next year. We'll soon see.
I look forward to seeing. Last question for you. We have a lot of kids listen to this show. You've already delivered some fantastic messages. Sometimes the hardest question, I think, for you will be one of the easier ones. They'll listen to this and seen a bloke that's chased his dreams in a couple of different sports, which, as I've mentioned a couple of times, I find really inspiring. For the youngsters out there listening, Val, that want to achieve something in sport or in their music or in their academia or just want to do the best they can do in their lives, what advice would you give them, mate?
Yep. One thing that I always say to myself is if you want something, like, and you're focused on it and you've got your mindset on it and you see yourself, like, whatever it is, holding it or playing alongside it or playing with it or doing it, whatever it is, that you can do it. If you just set your mind to that goal, set a goal. Like I set little goals. I don't really set long-term goals or big goals because, you know, it's just takes too long to get there. So I like to set more little goals and then achieve them. And, you know, obviously train hard, work hard in whatever you're doing, whether it's music, sport, academic sides. And for sport, I would say, you know, always look after your body. That's your moneymaker. Whether it is tennis, golf, rugby league, rugby union, AFL, you know, it's, if you're not playing out in the field, you're not going to perform well. Obviously, you're not going to get paid well. And that's where it all comes down to, you know, to look after your body and, I don't know, have fun. Be happy while you're playing. You know, you don't really see me out on the field not happy. You know, we could be losing. I'd probably still have a smile on my face just because I'm grateful to be there, and it's a privilege to play in front of people and fans and that cheer for you. So, yeah, I'd say just have fun in everything you're doing and do it with 100% of your capacity.
It's great advice, mate, for two blokes that don't know each other. I think we've gone okay. What's it been like for you to reflect on? What's been an incredible, incredible journey, mate? Obviously, it's still got a long way to go.
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, I like bringing up old memories of, you know, where I've kind of started to where I am now, and, you know, it's almost like a literally like a full life circle because obviously I was born and raised in Townsville and went away, moved to another state, bigger city, and then I moved to overseas to New York, is probably the biggest city in the world, to come back to where I was born and to play for the team I always wanted to play for. It's crazy how you think life goes, and I'm still, you know, I just turned 25. I'm still at a young age to still do something, to still make dreams come true, hopefully. And yeah, it's been pretty cool.
Hey, mate, I've got a new favourite player to watch in the NRL now. I'm going to have to turn my attention away from the Storm and start watching you, mate.
There you go.
I hope you get a run in Origin. I hope it all turns out for you, mate. Yeah, and as you. I said, we've never met each other, but I'm sitting here in Melbourne in lockdown at the moment. There's curfews, to have a chat with a bloke who's having a real crack and gave it all up to try something even bigger. I find really inspiring. So I hope everyone has enjoyed the episode, mate. It's been a treat to have a chat with you, and hope we get to meet in person at some stage. Good on you, Val.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Valentine Holmes, great name, great athlete, great story. Thanks to Val for sharing his wonderful, wonderful tale with a bloke he's never met before, me. May life continue to be good for him. And thanks also to Will Latchford and the entire crew at the NRL for making it all happen. And good on you, cool cats, for tuning in. Please check out the new addition to our lineup, the Howie Games Hotline, and send your questions in when you get a moment. Until next Thursday, when Wasim Akram's player profile drops. What about that? Peace and love.
And we can do it if we try, try, try. If we try, try, try. If we try, try, try.
Listener.